You see, when you gave your life to Christ, whether it was like Cameron and Kara, maybe it was a Camp in the City event for you, maybe it was in the last year like Samantha, or maybe just in the last couple of 3-4 weeks like Roger, maybe it was when you were early married, maybe it was at work or at church, whenever that was for you. There's a lot of things that happened instantaneously in your heart when you said, God, I realize that I'm a sinner. And I realize that I'm separated from you and I need to be forgiven. And God, I thank you that you loved me enough. I mean, when I am worth nothing, you loved me enough that you left heaven just for me and came to the cross and made my forgiveness possible. Made it available for me. And God, thank you that when you went to that cross, you paid the penalty for my sin. And when they put you in that tomb 3 days later, you rose from the dead just like you said you would to prove you're exactly who you said you are. God, I give you my life. Whatever age you were when you prayed a prayer similar to that, you surrendered your life to Christ. A lot of things happened all at once. Man, God forgave you of your sins. I mean, God made you His child. He gave you a new heart. He began to develop in your life new priorities, a new vocabulary, new relationships, a new ability to love. So many things happened all at once. But one of the things that happened to every person who's given their life to Christ is He put inside of us a brand new heart. And in that heart, there was a passion. You can describe it as a desire. You know, you can describe it as a passion that's a little bit maybe more forceful than a desire. You may describe it as a drive. I love drive because I feel like, and I'm a driven person, and I can understand this. But He put inside of this new heart He gave us this drive, this passion, to be everything that He wants us to be. Now, if that didn't happen to you, then we've got some issues, and I would love to talk to you about that, because that comes with that new heart. It's just that desire, God, I'm yours. I want to be like you. I want you to change my life and make me like you. It's just part of that salvation package. Okay, and inside this drive to be all that He wants me to be is there's a lot of things that are inside of that. The things that are important to God need to become important to us. His purpose for creating us needs to be real in our lives. And there's two things that just kind of come to the top, come to the forefront more than a lot of the other things. God created you to worship Him. But you can't really do that until you know Him. I mean, we can go through the motions. We can pretend like it. But until we know Christ personally, until He's changed our life, we really can't worship Him. But there's another thing that goes hand in hand with worship that we're going to see today and that we're going to talk about. And it's all about serving God. Worship and serving are so intertwined. You can't separate them. It's impossible to put serving over here and sharing over here. It's impossible to do one without the other. One doesn't exist without the other. You see, if I'm coming to worship, but there's no area of service in my life, then my worship is empty. And by the same token, if I'm busy and I'm doing things, I'm up here on the praise team. Wouldn't you like to see me on the praise team one day? Pat never lets me up here. But if I were on the praise team, just, you know, singing and leading it out for y'all, but there was no worship in my life, then my service is meaningless. One doesn't exist without the other. Service and worship are all together. And that's what I want to teach you today. That's what I want us to talk about today. Now, here's what I want you to do. This is all about say yes. Because the prayer that we're praying for every person that comes in our door over the next September and October is going to be this. Our push is to get believers involved in serving. And if you're saying, gosh, you know what? I'm just here with a friend today. I just came to watch Roger get baptized. I'm not even a member here. Then here's my prayer for you. My job is to get you, if you're a believer, involved in serving somewhere, wherever you came from. All right? Because there are no spectators in God's world. There's no such thing as a Christian spectator. Those two words are polar opposites. But isn't it funny that they're so opposite, but our church is so full of spectators? Not just our church, but church in general. I don't think you can walk in a church in Madison County where that would have half of their people involved in serving. Because more than half of every church are just spectators. We've just come for the show, right? And so today, what I want you to see is worship with no service is empty. Service with no worship is meaningless. Well, now, wait a minute. I knew that's what this was going to be about. And so, listen, I've already got my defenses up. I've got my excuses or reasons, whatever you want to use. You know what? You don't know where I work. You don't know how many hours I have to work. You know, I'm a single mom. I mean, I don't have time to do my job and to be everywhere that the kids need to be, to school, to practice, and everything else. You know, hey, I'm just a ninth grade kid trying to pass English. I mean, back off. We've all got our excuses and our reasonings. But here's what I want you to realize. God saved you so that you could worship Him and so that you could serve Him. And that applies to every believer in this room. There's no exceptions. There's no get out of jail free cards in the Christian faith. God expects the same thing. Are you ready for this? God expects the same thing out of you that He does out of me. I'm not different because I'm in this full time. My walk with the Lord is a walk with the Lord just like yours. And His expectations for Steve are the same as they are for every person in here. Whether you're 99 and hanging on, whether you're like Mahalie and she was so young, all of her life is in front of her. Wow, the expectations are the same. And so here's what I want us to look at. We're going to look, it's on your study sheet there. It's Luke chapter 4, verse 8. It's under the first point, but I want to pull that verse out and go ahead and talk about that for just a minute. This was a statement that Jesus made when He was teaching. And Luke 4, 8 said this, Jesus answered, "It is written," which it was written in the Old Testament scriptures, "Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." And there's three big things that I want you to come away from this with. And so just do a little 1, 2, 3 somewhere there on your study sheet. The number one is going to be the blanks that are there. Serving God is a command. And if you'll notice the way this is written, it's not a request. Jesus didn't say, "Listen, fellas, would y'all like to do this? Huh? Hey, fellas, how many of you have free time in between catching fish? Right? How many of you would just like to get out of the house? Let me see you. Oh, there's a lot of hands here. All right. So I've got some options for you. It's not a request. It's a command. Worship and serve are written in the command voice. It's not a request. It's not written in the form of an option. It's not a discussion. It's not up for a vote. Your opinion and my opinion don't even matter because God gave this to us as a command. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only, and you can't separate them. One doesn't exist without the other. Worship and service. And so that's what we're talking about today. Worship and serving. And I'm going to ask you several different ways. I'm not in any way being confrontational or attacking or mocking or anything else that you might want to throw this way. But I'm going to ask you a lot of searching questions for you to answer in your own heart and life. I can't answer them for you, but these will be good discussions, maybe for your husband and your wife, your family at home. Awesome talk time around the table at a meal. That would be great. Where are you serving? Where are you currently serving the Lord? I know where you worship because I can I can see you. You're sitting right here, right? But where are you serving? Because those go together. And one doesn't really exist without the other. Where are you serving? And what our prayer is, let us help you find a place that is perfect for you. Fits your personality. Fits your gift mix. You know what? I'm a people person. I'm a task-oriented person. I'm outgoing, life of the party. You know what? I'm real quiet and I sit back. I have a lot of time. I have a little time. I really love to study. I don't have time to study. I love to sing. I have a lot of talents. You know what? I love to cook. I love, you know, you saw Scott up here. You're going to hear from different people over the next several weeks as they just share stories about serving. And we started with Scott because Scott's kind of our shotgun. Scott's a little bit of everywhere. And if you heard him, that's what he said. You know what? It may be loading trucks at 2 o'clock in the morning for a group going to Haiti. Maybe going to the hospital. It may be helping out here, there, or wherever. He's the go-to guy when you need somebody. What is it for you? Where are you serving the Lord? Are you serving the Lord? Or is your worship empty because there's no service? See, this doesn't apply to some and not to all. This, we're not talking about church activities. This isn't the Christian Job Corps. I'm not looking for things to keep you busy. I'm looking to obey what Jesus said, worship and serve. That's why He created us. Those are the main purposes that He has for our lives, for every one of us. And so that's what we want to unload today. You've got your study sheets there. Hopefully you've already filled in that first set of words there. Serving God is a command. I told you I was going to tell you three things. That's the first thing. Serving God is a command. And right up under that, here's the second thing. Serving God is an expectation. Because God commanded us to serve, then it's an expectation that He has for who? Just some? Just pastors? Just staff and missionaries? No, for every believer, whether they're 8 years old or 180 years old. God's plan, God's purpose, God's desire for us is to worship and serve. And because it's an expectation from God, God always follows up His expectations. And this is what I mean by that. Anytime in Scripture God expects something of us as a believer, as His child, then He's going to follow that up and hold us accountable for it. Well, you know, it really won't matter. As long as I get to heaven, that's really all that matters. I just don't want to go to hell and fry like a sausage. You know what? So what if I don't serve? If you don't walk away with anything else, I want you to remember today that the preacher said a half a dozen times, serving God is a big deal. It's not just some little add-on, some little optional thing. It's a big deal. And God expects it. He commands it. And because it's an expectation, when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll answer for that. He said, He'll say, I don't know how this will happen, so I'm just making this up. I know we will be accountable for it. But at some point, we're going to have to answer. Tell me about your service. And he's not asking about, you know, what you do for a living. He's not asking you about activities that your kids are involved in. He's not asking you about places you went on your vacation. He's asking you, I ask you to worship and to serve. Let's talk about that. And if you were standing before the Lord right now, what would your answer be? Do you have a place? Well, Lord, these are the places and the ways that I serve you on a regular basis, whether it's at Flint River or whether it's at your church. You're visiting here today and you say, man, I am serving God at my church. That is awesome. Wherever it is. And you're going to find out today that we're going to talk about three different levels of serving. We're going to talk about opportunities inside the church, opportunities all throughout the community, and then opportunities in other countries. All right? So there are a lot of different ways, but it's a big, big, big deal. Serving God is a command. Serving God is an expectation that He's going to hold us accountable for. And serving God is a choice that we make. We've all got excuses, but when you boil those excuses down, let's just get real honest. Those excuses are really worthless. Well, I just don't have time. Well, you know what? You've got the same amount that everybody else does, right? It's a choice as to what we do with our time. What's the most important thing in your life? That's what you spend the most of your time on, right? What's the priorities in your life? That will take your time. And some of you have a lot of time that you could serve the Lord. Some of you have just a little bit of time because you do all kind of traveling, and some of you are overseas through the week and come home on the weekends. I understand that. Some of you just are in situations, but that's okay. God has ways for you to serve, whether you've got a lot of time or just a little bit of time. The key is that we are involved in serving Him. That is huge. That is absolutely huge. As a matter of fact, I've already forgotten what you told me just a minute ago. How is it that you're serving the Lord? What did you answer just a minute ago? Do you remember? Well, I just wanted to ask you again, because I want you to really be thinking, because I'm praying for God to lay on your heart over these next several weeks. You know what? I think this is what God wants me to do. And before He ever asks you a question, I want you to say, God, here's the answer. Before you ever put your finger on anything in my life, before you ever lead me, I think this is the area, I think this is the task, I think these are the people, whatever the case may be, God, here's my answer. I'm telling you right up front, God, my answer is yes. Now, Lord, go ahead and ask me the question. My answer is yes. Because serving is a huge deal. It's a command, it's an expectation, and it's a choice that we make. You see, we said just a minute ago, it's not an option. And it's not just a church activity. And it's not trying to keep somebody busy. It's not just for some people, and it's not for others. It is really, really huge. Because when I'm serving the Lord, and we'll talk about this, there's scripture that says that our service to the Lord is a part of our worship. Wow, that's where we are today. Our service to the Lord is a way of thanking Him for what He's done in our life. Our serving Him is a way of expressing our love for the Lord. But bottom line, you know what it is? Flat out obedience. Because He's asked us as His children, I saved you. I created you and saved you so that you could worship and serve. It's a combination. It's not either or. It's not optional. And so those are the two huge things. Look at this next line here. I want to talk to you about Jesus being our example. This is so good. A minute ago when I described for you that when you and I surrendered our lives to Him, and we say, God, I'm asking you to change my life. God, I give you my heart, my life. Lord, I want to be like you and I want you to change me. All right? It's that desire that he puts in our heart to become more and more and more and more like him every day. And so part of becoming more like Jesus is this. I need to know him so well through Bible study, through growing. I need to begin to learn the things that are important to God. And the things that are important to him need to become important to me. It really doesn't matter what's important to me, because God's not changing where he's coming from on this whole deal of priorities. But the things that are important to God need to become important to me. And serving is a big deal to the Lord. I want you to look. We'll look just a second at another passage of Scripture. You know, we use this phrase a lot of times. If you've been here probably 2 or 3 weeks, you've already heard it a half a dozen times. We talk so much that as believers, it's our desire to be Jesus with, did you hear that? Everybody knew it. Jesus with skin on. What does that mean? Does that mean that you come to church? Yeah, that's probably part of it. But coming to church is not serving God in and of itself. You can come to church every Sunday for 50 years and you may never even know God. Coming to church, well, I come and I try to participate, but worship without service is empty. It's a both and, not an either or. So it is a huge, huge, huge deal. See, when the Lord came to the earth, what were the Jews looking for? Why did they miss when Jesus came the first time? Their concept of God coming as their Redeemer and Messiah would be that he would come as a conquering king, absolutely. It's what Jesus paints the picture of that we call the second coming. That was their version of the first coming. They were looking for the skies to part and the majesty and the glory of God would just come from heaven and this righteous king and this warrior, this mighty figure would come as the Redeemer and Messiah. They had no clue that Jesus would come the first time as a humble servant. Look at this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve, to be a servant. And if I'm to be like Christ, then that's going to mandate that I have to be involved in service. Absolutely. There's no question. There's no discussion. It's just pretty simple right there. If I'm going to be Jesus with skin on, it's going to be because people can see his character and his nature in my life. It's going to be that they see me involved in worship. But it's also going to be that they're seeing me involved in service. So let me just stop a minute and ask you again. How are you involved in serving the Lord? See, it's all ages. It's all ages. You know, our senior adults in here can't say, you know, well, I've served my time. Sounds like a prison sentence, doesn't it? You know, well, I've served. No, there's stuff for you to do. There's a lot that you can do. Well, I can't get up and move around a lot. I can't. There's stuff that you can do. Let us help you find a way to serve. Because if you're not serving God, your worship is empty. Worship the Lord and serve Him only. Let me ask you a couple. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's look at a passage of Scripture. Let's flip over. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 9 if you'd like, or we're going to put it right up here on the screen. Hebrews 9, 11 through 14. I want you to look. This is a fabulous section of Scripture there in Hebrews where it talks about the heavenly tabernacle, right? The heavenly altar, the Holy of Holies, and the mercy seat, all right? And so this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being our high priest. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it's not a part of this creation. He didn't enter by means of the blood of goats and calves in the whole form of Jewish worship. Who entered by means of the blood of goats and calves? The priest, right? And he says, no. He's not like the priest, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by what? His own blood. It was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that made available your forgiveness and my forgiveness, right? Thus obtaining eternal redemption, our salvation, our forgiveness, our new life in Christ. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. All right, follow this. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself? He was the Lamb of God. Remember how John introduced him there at the Jordan River? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God. He was a sinless sacrifice on that cross to cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death. Right? You with me? You good so far? Look at the last phrase. So that we may what? Serve the living God. You thought it was going to say so that we could go to heaven. So that we could have a new life. So that God can help me when I'm in trouble. But it says so that we may serve the living God. Worship and serving go together. You can't divide them. You can't dissect them, right? You can't have really one without the other. They're so intertwined. God went to the cross to make our salvation available. And when you said yes to that salvation, then worship and serving become a huge deal in your life and in my life. Wow, where are you serving? Where are you serving? Now, don't tell me what you've done for the last 2 years or 10 years or 20 years. Don't tell me about what you can't do. But where are you serving? How is it that you're fulfilling God's purpose for your life? Those are huge questions that you need to discuss at home this week. Well, What if that's just not me? You ever heard anybody say that? That's the answer I get a lot of times. That's just not me. Really? So what are you saying? God made a mistake? If that's not you, you know what that reflects? Such pride and self-centeredness. Wow. I've heard people say, but I just don't really want to. I don't get into that kind of stuff. Let me tell you, I'll just be honest, and this isn't Steve's idea. This is coming from Scripture. If I was saved so that I could serve, and now you're telling me you don't want to serve, I would tell you, then you know what? There's probably some major issues going on in your walk with God because Scripture says, I was saved to worship and to serve. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. A lot of stuff going on. When God asks you over the next several weeks, would you serve here? Or how about this area? Does this appeal to you? here's the answer that I want you to give to the Lord. It's real simple. Just say, how easy is that? Just say, yes. Hey, take that card that's in your hand out there. I want to run through some things with you. I want to explain some of this. If I had put all the details on this card, it would have been more of a book that had been in there. But I just want you to hold that card up. It's got church opportunities on one side, and on the other side, community and countries. I just want you to turn to the church side, all right? Now, these five teams are five areas within our church, on our campus, where we have people serving, all right? Just want to throw these out to you. Maybe you didn't even know we were doing these things. Oh, gosh, I would love to do that. Well, that's what I'm hoping that you're saying. And in each one of these, you see there's little dots under them. Each dot is a specific team of that variety. Like the first impression team. These are the first people that you see when you drive on the campus. We've got parking teams now. We've got a team before Sunday school and a team before worship. And they're out there in their little vest, and that's not for you to use them as targets. That's hopefully for you to avoid them. All right? But they're out there, man. We drive onto this campus and there's somebody smiling and waving. Minute I step outside of the car, man, somebody says, hey, good morning, how are you? Well, you know what? There are days that you might be doing great. And there are days that it may have been the worst week in the whole world for you. Maybe the bottom dropped out for you. You've come to the right place. Because this church is a place for hurting people. But I want you to know that the moment you turn onto our campus, there's going to be somebody there with a smile that's going to greet you. You know what? And then once you come from the parking lot in toward the building, there are people at every door that you can enter. And they're there with a big smile on. They're the welcome team at all of our doors. And man, this is my first time. I don't know where to go. I'm Steve. What's your name? Oh, good. Come on. Listen, I'll take you. Let's get your kids checked in over here in preschool. Oh, you got a third grader? Well, they go over here in Dustin's Children's Church area over here, all right? Hey, so you're in your what? Your mid-30s? Okay, great. Do you know anybody here? Oh, let me just take you to a couple classes, and then you can kind of choose, you know, where you would like to go. They're there to be that connection for you. We've got a hospitality area out here. And boy, those are just the hostess for the mostest. And just to make the coffee and the donuts, they're not making the donuts, but they're making that area just so fun to be around, place for people to hang out and get something to eat before our life groups start and before our worship begins. And while I'm on this, if we could keep those out there, that'd be awesome. Instead of doing like this at the donuts over there, you know, and carrying this into church, with your cup of coffee that's sloshing as you're walking, you know, because it's making horrible stains on the pews and everything. We've got all you can eat, but how about enjoying them out there? Because it's a great area. We've got people out there making that such a fun and a friendly place. And then in this corner back here, as you walk out to the right, is becoming a ministry center. And that's your place. If you want to sign up for a Bible study, you're not having to look for a table somewhere. If you want to sign your kids up for camp in the city, or you want to go on a mission trip or go to Israel with us, that's going to be the place for you to go. It's a connection center over there. And maybe that's you. Maybe you don't have time to study. You don't have time to prepare. Teaching is not your thing. You're like me and you can't sing worth a lick. But you know what? I love to talk to people and I can help them get connected in whatever it is they're looking for. We've got all those teams. Those are first impression teams. And we would love to have you a part of any of those teams. Then you got our grow teams. From the Little River kids to the River kids, our preschool to our children, and then to the students. So from birth up through high school, They have age-graded classes. And if I listed everything under here that you could do, it would be a book. But everything from administrative. You know, I've heard people tell me, you know, I love to be around little kids, but I don't want to mess with little kids, right? But I'm very tech savvy. I'd love just to check people in. That'd be awesome. You know, some of you like to the littler kids and then the older kids, some the students. I can't understand it because I absolutely love teenagers, and that's been my whole life. But there are a lot of people that say, I am allergic to teenagers. You know, I'll do a lot of things, but don't put me with them. They're the greatest kids in all the world. But there's small group leaders that we need, and we need the check-in people. Here's my favorite in the preschool is the snacks person. Yeah, what a great job. Some for y'all. Some for me. Some for y'all. Goldfish for me. And what a great way. Whether you're into rocking babies or whether you want to sing and teach little children music or whatever the case may be, you're working with our older kids, you're a small group leader, you want help in children's church, and there's just thousands of ways. And then every age group have their activities, just like you heard Cameron talk about camp in the city. You know, that involves a lot of us. Our summer bash involves a lot of us. Things that we do around here require a lot of adults. You know, right now, if there were a dozen couples right now that raised their hand and said, you know what, boy, we would love to help in preschool, that's the immediate need. Our preschool is like exploding. And Susie's saying, I need some help bad. And I said, hang on, because there's a lot of people that are going to say yes. All right? And so we need people all around. And then in the college and the adults, you know, whether you have a passion for prayer, you know, whether you like to teach the Bible, whether you like to be involved in the community projects. Each of our life groups is going to adopt a community project this year so that there's going to be things that they're going to be involved in throughout our community. But anyway, there's a lot of areas. We're looking right now to start several new life groups in the adults. But I don't know who to get to teach them, because I don't know who has a passion to teach. I don't know who to ask. So I need your yes. Who said that? I love it. Was that? You're awesome, Cameron. That's it. My bag man right there. Good job. We just need to know that you're available. How incredible is that? Worship teams. Whether you're, this is auditioned group down here, but up here is the Joyful Noise group. You know, you like, now that's not a cut, because Pat says, most of my folks don't read music. You know what? They're just up there because they love to sing. And if that's you, then we need to get you hooked up with that. Maybe you play an instrument. Maybe that would be a way that you could serve. Look at the next one, the audio, the sound, and the lighting. This is not the only place that we do audio, sound, and lighting. The children have a service that goes on right at the same time as ours, and all these people back against this wall are very aware of that, aren't you? Because it is loud right over there when the sound comes through those doors. But they need sound techs over there. They need computer people put the images on the screen. They need lighting. The preschool has a worship service. The students have a worship service downstairs. We have a lot of needs for that. Well, I'd like to do that. Well, how am I supposed to know that unless you say yes? I can't read your mind. So these are ways for you to get involved. Boy, our cafe teams, a lot of ways in there. For host, Roger and Rhonda are our Wednesday night host. And well, you walk in there and well, there's always a smile. And here's a mom with three little kids trying to trying to juggle trays and come through the line with desserts and everything else. And Roger and Rhonda say, hey, you know what? I got those trays for you. Where would you like to sit? Let me help you get seated and everything else. Just walking around making you feel so welcome, so wanted. Hey, how was your day? Oh, rough day, huh? Can I help you in any way? You want to talk about that? We need people to help them be the host. Maybe you've got time to come and help them prepare the food. Maybe you know what? I'm working all day now. I can't come and help cook, but I could be here by 4:30 and I could serve from 4:30 to 6. As they come through the line, you know, here's the beans and here's the chicken or whatever it is. I could help serve. Maybe some of you say, you know what? Man, I don't get off until after that's done. But I could show up about 5:30 or 6 and push the stuff through the dishwasher. Just keep those trays going through the dishwasher. There's lots of ways for you to serve. And then some of our guys pride themselves in knowing how to grill. Ladies, let me just ask you this. How many of you are married to somebody that thinks they know how to grill? Let me see your hands. Just ladies' hands. All right, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Now, how many of you like what they grill? Okay, well, we lost some hands. We lost some hands right there. Woo! All right, we do a lot of grilling. We have picnics here at the church. We grill for all 12 of our schools, plus the central office. We do so much grilling. And when we do that, we need to have a team of guys that are our go-to guys that can grill the chicken or the hamburgers, whatever the case may be. And then our care teams. You know, we're a young church. We don't have many people that are homebound. We have one that's in a nursing home, a rehab facility, and we have one that's in an assisted living. And that's pretty much it. We have a really young church, but just our team that makes them feel like, you know what, you're still a part of the church. You're still connected. You're still important. Meals on Wheels goes out every Wednesday afternoon. Before we start serving to the church at 4:45, there's a group of folks that come by and the meals are already fixed and boxed and they're in to-go boxes and the name of where you're going and even directions sometimes are on that box. And for our team, they grab a box and maybe they've got one stop or two stops and they bring the food. And you know, most of the people they take the food to are some of our older families, some of the families that have just come home from the hospital. Some of our young families that have just had new babies, you know what? And so we're providing a meal for the family. You know, a lot of times the visit is worth more than the food. It's just that, hey, how you doing? And they'll sit the food there on the counter and talk to you for 30 minutes just to have somebody to come by and talk to. So that is a great deal. Baptism, not to get in with me, right? But just to be the hostess, I mean, there's a lot going on back there, you know. Not necessarily that I need a hair dryer, but other people need hair dryers and things like that. And just to kind of have, hey, here are the towels over here, and what size T-shirt do you wear? And, you know, just helping the people feel at home there. And then the campus teams are just, this is a new team that we want to create. It's amazing the bumps and bruises this building gets from a Sunday. The scuffs and scrapes on the walls. Little kids walking down the wall like this. You ever seen a little kid? You know, just all the fingerprints and hand marks. And you know what? Just to have a brush and, man, just so that, like Disney World. You know that's repainted every night at Disney World? Because every day they think, this may be the first time somebody's come, and we want it to see it like it is when it was brand new. And we want our church to be better than Disney World. Just to spruce up, fix up. There's some little building projects that we really need doing. And you know what? If there would be a half a dozen or a dozen people that could just give an hour a week, you know, maybe you could, two or three of you could be here at the same time. Maybe you show up at different parts of the week. You know, some of the jobs would require more than one, but some of them may just be standalone jobs. But just a campus group that could just help us fix them up, paint them up, get everything ready for church on Sunday. Those are just some things inside our church. You know, we'll talk about on another day, we'll talk about the things in the community, things around the world, other countries that we can be involved in. But here's my plea to you. God saved you and God saved me for a purpose. And it was so that we could worship and we could serve. And so God is going to ask you again. He's probably asked you many times before, and you've either said no or you've had an excuse. But He's going to ask you again, would you serve because I need somebody on that team or that team or that team? And my heartfelt prayer for you is that you would say yes. Here's what I want you to do. I don't want this to come back in the offering. This is yours. I want you to take it home, put it on your refrigerator, take it to work, put it by your computer, whatever. Because I want you to pray through these. And I want you to, if you need to this morning, you know what? It's just, I've been waiting for the opportunity. This is exactly what I want. Then take one of those Connect cards that's in the back of the pew that you're sitting behind. Just take a Connect card, give me a name, an email, and then just write whatever the name in bold is, right? First impression, camp, care teams, cafe teams, whatever it is. And then tomorrow, somebody is going to contact you on email. So I need you to be looking. You know, I know you check your email once a month, but make it tomorrow because we're going to respond to you if you put that in the offering plate. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Not for us, for you. Because God saved us to serve. If you don't know Him, serving doesn't mean anything. If you don't know Him, there's no desire in your heart to serve. If you don't know Him, any excuse sounds good to you. But if you're a believer, He's put within your heart that desire to be all He's created you to be. Let's pray together.